Say hello to flawlessly smooth skin at Pure Lux Med Spa, the preferred med spa of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. Specializing in elite laser hair removal, body contouring, Botox, cosmetic filler, and age-defying skincare treatments such as Diamond Glow and Skin Pen for collagen induction therapy. For more information, visit MyPureLux.com/Vikings for exclusive offers to Vikings fans. That's www.MyPureLux.com/Vikings.
Hey, Purple Nation, welcome to the latest edition of the Minnesota Vikings podcast presented by Pepsi. We are less than 2 weeks away from the start of the 2024 NFL draft, and the speculation and anticipation is swirling as the Vikings weigh all of their options heading into draft night. Joining us today is our friend from the Vikings Radio Network, former Vikings linebacker Ben Lieber, who is coming with the hot takes on today's show. Sit back and settle in as we explore the future of the purple and gold in this week's NFL Draft Edition of the Minnesota Vikings Podcast. Yo, yo, what is going on? Welcome to episode number 266. My name is Gabe Henderson. We have a full room here inside the TCO Radio studio today. To my left, we got our producer, Eric Davidson. To his left is Vikings.com's Tatum Everett. To her left is a guy we haven't talked to in a while, Mr. Ben Lieber. And to his left, we have our guy, Mr. Jay Nelson from Vikings.com. What a show we have for Vikings fans today, Ben. It has been a while since we've talked to you. We see you every day on Twin Cities Live. But when it comes to the football conversations, I believe that's something that all of us in this room miss, but also our fans. We can't wait to hear from you. Thanks for joining.
Well, I miss you guys, too. I mean, what the heck is the deal here? I mean, the football season's over. I consider you guys friends. Yeah. And then nobody calls, nobody writes, not even a text or an email, nothing. And I hear you guys talking about the draft all the time and like, oh, hey, guys, I used to work for the team, you know?
Well, you're the busiest man in the state of Minnesota now.
See, that's a misnomer.
Yeah, you got a full-time job. You're on KFAN.
Right.
I know.
It's hard to get on the schedule.
The Twin Cities Live thing is a full-time job. But, you know, all jokes aside, it's really fun to sit down with you guys, to see you guys. Mm-hmm. It has been a while. And to talk about something that has been on top of mind for all of us football fans and Vikings fans. For the last 3 months plus?
Yeah. I took something from you. I kind of took one of your ideas. When I first got here, I remember that you would come up with a big mock draft board, or you would analyze every single guy, like the top 150 guys, and basically write notes on every single one. And I know you probably still do that, but I've done that this year. So let's start with that. Where are you right now when it comes to trying to figure out what the Vikings will do this offseason, in particular draft night?
Well, you know, that whole practice of doing, you know, being pretty much familiar with the top 100, 150, he's really gone by the wayside this draft.
Okay.
Because as you guys have talked about ad nauseum, is we're looking at quarterback.
Right.
And so, yes, I've gotten myself familiar with quarterback situation. And really, it's like the top five or six guys. You know, I'm not really deep diving down in the weeds of some of these quarterbacks. But outside of that, it's quarterback, it's interior and outside defensive line, and that's really it. Like I don't think that we have any other avenues. If we stay at 11 and 23, then I think we have to go both of those positions. They have to be addressed. It's our biggest area of need. I don't even know at this point in time you would draft a first-round interior left offensive guard, because we have bigger needs at other spots.
Have you decided what quarterback you think would be the best option, or how you would go about getting said quarterback?
Well, yes. And like a lot of other people, and I'm sure everybody in this room has done the same thing, we have analyzed every quarterback. We all understand that Jaden and Caleb probably aren't going to be, you know, a high probability that we're going to have an option at one of those two guys. So I've looked at the guys, and the thing is, like, again, like everybody else does with all this information, you're trying to disseminate what is fact or fiction. And I've really started to narrow down and get used to the fact that, hey, all of this chatter about the Vikings loving J.J. McCarthy, it's got to be real. at this point in time, it has to be real. It's coming from too many sources, too often, too high a frequency. And then you get the ridiculousness of the Patriots all of a sudden like, hey, I'm Elliott Wolf. You know what? I love him too. And I want to take him at three. I'm like, do you? Yeah. Do you really? Like all of this now in the last couple of weeks is just because I think there really is legit rumors that the Vikings love him a lot, as does Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. So they're trying to increase that trade value, which you should do from a business standpoint. But I've kind of zeroed in on him. And, you know, to be honest, I'm a big Penix guy. Mm. I like him over the other available options. So if they can't get McCarthy, who it sounds like they covet, then I think the best fit is Michael Penix.
So what do you think about Penix there? Then with him being a left-handed quarterback, some people have kind of cited that as potential detriment for him as a quarterback coming out because of left tackle, right tackle, and kind of the shift of that kind of stuff. I saw Michael Penix play live this season, and he had a really good first half. In the second half, when they kind of schemed for him and dialed up the blitzes, he mm-hmm. seemed to struggle just a little bit, mm-hmm. but he had that charisma. He has that control of the offense. What do you think about Michael Penix that you like going into this draft?
I like his deep ball game. I like his deep ball accuracy. I actually think that he has better pocket awareness and better pocket movement, and he's more athletic. He has faster foot quickness than I think people realize, because he's a tall drink of water, and it's like, oh, he's this taller guy that's sort of long and linear, and you know everything about him when you compare him to McCarthy is just bigger. And McCarthy and some of these other guys are getting so much applause for some of their athleticism, their ability to throw on the run. And when I personally look at Penix, I'm like, he has all of those traits. Plus, he's a taller guy.
Yep.
I get the red flags with the injury. Now, that's something that we're not privy to. I mean, it sounds like everybody says that he's checked out clean, you know, and because of the nature of those injuries, a lot of people don't think those are going to be reoccurring or chronic injuries. You do worry about with ACL injuries, is there cartilage wear and tear? Is there going to be an arthritic situation that's going to be chronic here in the next couple of years? If that's the case, then yes, that's an obvious red flag. You don't want to deal with that. I'm not concerned about his age. I think 25 for a quarterback is not that big of a deal. You expected to have him for the next 10 years anyway. So a quarterback at 35, who cares? Big deal.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Quarterbacks these days are extending their careers into their 40s at this point. So,
yeah.
Like for somebody like him being 25, actually, it kind of gives him a little bit more mental maturity when mm-hmm. it comes into coming into this league. But I think the one concern for some people with him was purely just like body size. You know, he's kind of a skinny guy, especially in the legs. And I'm sure NFL teams are drooling to get a hold of him and kind of, you know, mm-hmm. put some more in that framework. But for someone like him, I think he is a very interesting, there's that delineation line between kind of those top five guys. And then you've got that Bo Nix, Penix area. And so for me, someone like him, I think he is a very intriguing option kind of in that early to mid double digit draft spot.
Well, and you guys have seen too, I mean, when we've had now, I mean, it's been fortunate for us as fans and as looking at this and with the critical eye that we had stability at quarterback and then we didn't. And like Tatum, you and I would talk about it. Gabe, you and I would talk about it in some of the postgame stuff. It's like, you know, we went through the quarterback play with this rotating door of who's going to be in there at the end of the season. And through all of that, we actually saw what KOC likes. You know, like he likes a certain style of quarterback. I don't think that he wants to change his offense per se, especially in the middle of the season, to fit maybe the skill set of the quarterback that's in there. He's like, I want that quarterback to run my offense. And what is that to me is you look at the stats and we watch Kirk Cousins play. That's a deep ball thrower.
Yeah.
I mean, that KOC loves to dial up things that are deep down the field. Now, I don't, maybe Tatum, you have the stat in front of you. Maybe you don't, but like the air yards that Kirk had, I believe was top five in the league before he got hurt. I mean, he was slinging it, and you're like, oh my gosh, he's not just a game manager, he's not a dink and dunk guy. We are getting the ball down the field deep and intermediate, and then there's run after the catch. So of all the guys that I think that fits sort of what he's looking for offensively for his offense with Justin Jefferson is a guy like Michael Penix.
I look at, I mean, I actually have the stat of the air yards. We had passes that traveled 10 plus air yards, 31% of our dropbacks last year. 36% of our dropbacks were play action passes. Michael Penix Jr. led the NCAA in play action passes last year. So when you talk about fit, I just feel like that makes sense, but the injury concerns start to arise when it's when you talk about, okay, well, yeah, he led the NCAA in sack avoidance, right? Where, you know, he's getting the ball out, but he only had 8 rushing yards. So is that 8 rushing yards only due to him not trusting his knee, or is that due to just how the offense was kind of orchestrated? Pete and I did a film room on Michael Penix, which will be on Vikings.com here in a few days. And when you turn on the film, him leading his receivers open was the number one thing that stood out to me. But to that point, it's like, is his knee good enough to be able to withstand an 18 or 17 game season week in and week out?
Look, he could be killing it in the first, let's say his first 3 starts, whether it's weeks 1, 2, and 3, or it's the weeks in the middle after Sam Darnold sort of shows him the way and then he takes over. I understand where you are as an organization. Like, if he takes a hit on a scramble or otherwise, and he goes down and he's out for the rest of the season, and it could be like, oh my gosh, he hurt his knee in a horrible way. Like, that is a wasted draft pick. So I get the risk reward, which is why I'm going back to why they probably love a guy like J.J. McCarthy, is that he's sturdier built, maybe not as tall, maybe not as strong of an arm, adequate arm, has the accuracy looking for. And he also does play action from under center. That is one thing that I think when you look at the stats with Penix, the play action, quote unquote play action, was from gun a lot. Yeah. You know, it wasn't turning your back to
reverses,
the defense, doing the whole traditional pro style play action. So they count it as a play action, even though there's a ball fake, but it's not coming from under center. And that's where I would give the advantage to a guy like McCarthy.
So McCarthy, you have to trade up for. Or do you think you could get him at 11?
No, you got it. I think
he's not fallen.
No, I don't think. You know, if he falls, the thing is, like, the trade up part of it is, it's you're guaranteeing yourself, like you're not crossing your fingers hoping that he does fall. So it's one of those things when you look at the teams around us that are looking for a quarterback, and look, even the Giants.
I mean, the Broncos behind you. You've got the Raiders.
The Broncos, the Raiders. There are other teams. I think I counted on my list potentially 9 teams in the first round that literally could use a quarterback. You know, they're not all going to take quarterback in the first round, but all around us, you know, the teams that we mentioned, then you think about the Giants, do they pull the trigger? Or do they just basically say, we're done with this experiment. We're just going to eat this contract after this next year and try to see if we can move their quarterback. The Rams will be looking for a quarterback. Do they do that in the first round? I doubt it, but they. And then the Cowboys have already told basically Dak, you're not our guy. We're not getting your long-term contract. So the Cowboys at some point in time are going to be looking for a quarterback. And who knows with a guy like Jerry Jones, when he gets an idea, that would be a long way to go from where they're at 24 to move up. Yeah. But the thing is, we have to move up if we're going to guarantee ourselves a spot at the fourth best quarterback, to say that.
To that point, I know how you first, second, third, fourth. I know that's all subjective, but do you risk the future of your team to get the quote unquote fourth best quarterback in the draft if that is Drake May or JJ or whoever people say it is?
I think you do.
Okay.
I think you do.
Okay.
It's a different class, right? Like, you don't normally see guys that could have been jockeying in between 1 and 4 like this often.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I will give you that.
But then you could just sit at 11 and get a guy like Penix. Like, and then you have your picks to kind of build around him. So it's kind of, I still haven't decided what I would do.
Well, I know. And I think it is tricky because I see what you're saying. Would you want to move up? Would you want to leverage and sacrifice future draft picks to go up and get the fourth best anything?
Yeah.
You know, if you're like, oh, you're going to move up and you're going to give up, you're going to swap first rounders, give up a 23rd and possibly next year's first rounder, although you're hoping if things work out that it's going to be in the 20s and late 20s for the fourth best anything. Like, if that's a hard, it is kind of a hard, like, we're going to go up against the fourth best cornerback. And you're like, we're doing what? The fourth best cornerback.
Just got best player available.
Yeah,
you would,
that's true.
So it is, I understand like the label that we put on it, but if this class is as truly as good as all the experts say it is, and it is about fit, as much as I like Daniels, and you know, your Tatum's over here with her LSU mug.
Always.
You know, I get it, but here's the crazy thing, and maybe this is completely ridiculous to say. I don't think that he fits in this offense. You know, I think it is about team fit, mm-hmm. and he's a talented mm-hmm. individual. Most likely he's going to go number two to the Commanders. And that to me is like, that's a good fit because of what Cliff Kingsbury does with quarterbacks that look like him.
I think you have to base your entire offense around Caleb and Jaden. And pretty much they drive the ship versus here where you put a team together and you basically put the right quarterback that fits the system and let everybody else do their work. I mean, we still got JJ. We still got Jordan Addison. We still got Christian Derrick. Like, there are guys on this roster that could still go out for another team and be the number one player on that team. So I do think this system is set up for a quarterback to succeed. Like, I'm interested to hear, you know, some of the nine teams that you have, because – you know, I was talking to someone the other day and I was like, this is the best fit for a young quarterback to be in when it comes to teams that need a quarterback this mm-hmm. year, probably sans the Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, think about all the weapons that we have, you know, when Hawkinson's back healthy, my goodness. And then, you know, I'm sure you guys have, you know, really are already exhausted the conversation, but getting Aaron Jones, are you kidding me? You know, when I heard that report, was that a legit report that KOC ran down the hallway when yeah. he heard that? Like,
yeah.
I would be sprinting my 45-year-old butt off to do the same thing and probably pull a lot of muscles. When I saw on the waiver wire, like, they're really going to let him go and yeah. he's going to be available, you literally run to the podium and make that selection. All the weapons that they have, you know, having KOC call plays. I think it's the top destination for a lot of the quarterbacks. I mean, I'm actually curious to hear what you guys – are saying about, I think the biggest X factor in this whole thing is Drake May. Everybody seems to be cooling on Drake May. I mean, he was the darling outside of Caleb Williams yeah. going into the football season last year. Seems like he checked all the boxes without having a strong wide receiver core. Everybody was still singing his praises. And now all of a sudden in the last 3 weeks, everybody's kind of cooling off on him. Like, is it real yeah. or, again, is it a smokescreen?
But that's the biggest thing is, for me, it's always this is the smokescreen time. That last 4 weeks before the draft, it turns into, we don't really like that guy. And secretly you're like, please, for the love of God, let him draft where we're at. Right? For me, two-part question for you. Do you have a number that they have to get to in order to secure one of those guys? Like, it has to be top five or it has to be top eight. And then on top of that, do you have a wild card team that could completely mess this whole thing up? Because for me, it's always the Raiders have always been that team that have always taken somebody completely out of left yeah. field. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh, it's going to go 1 through 10. And they got pick number 9 and they just completely whiff on something completely different. So to me, kind of the two-part thing, where do you potentially see us having to get? And then is there a wild card team that could mess the whole thing up?
Jay with his doomsday
right,
question.
Right.
Not necessarily mess it up cause chaos in the draft.
Oh, there's going to be chaos.
I think that there's a team that I think is for the longevity of the head coach keeping his job beyond this one more year, I think it's the Jets.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I feel like they're a New York market. They understand they only have Aaron Rodgers for one more year. They have pick number 10. Nobody's talking about them.
Sure.
They have quietly just kind of laid in the weeds yeah. through this whole thing.
Well, and they made a ton of defensive moves in free agency.
Yes. I think that they're building up, and they have a young wide receiver yeah. core as well. So they are building. They've got a stud running back as well. They are building up a team and a foundation that all they need is just the one guy this yeah. year to do what he's supposed to do, hand the reins off to a guy next year, and let him be the guy with all these weapons. Very similar setup to the Vikings. It's the New York Jets.
Time is a flat circle, huh? Like, that is the same exact scenario Aaron Rodgers was in when they drafted Jordan Love in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Brett Favre, that whole situation from Green Bay to New York. And then here, I mean, you're basically saying, you know, if it doesn't work.
Are you? I am not saying that. I am not going to go down that road. I think, you know, unlike that other situation, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be completely comfortable being done after mm-hmm. this one more season. He'll retire and he'll be done.
It'll be interesting for sure, Tatum.
He's running for office.
I wouldn't put it past him, but I think that's going to be more of a 2028 thing versus a 2024 thing.
Yeah. So if you if you're able to get a quarterback without losing too much in the first round, like let's say someone does drop to 11, some shocking fashion, you've got pick 23. What do you do with it? Do you trade back to get more picks? Would you go for another area of need like edge or?
I think at 23. I mean, again, all this depends on how the draft falls at 23. If we stay at 11 and 23, and let's just say that we get a quarterback at 11, I think you have to go best available defense at this point. Now, if that defender is an inside linebacker, then I say maybe not. But I think if you have the best available defensive lineman, whether they're a three technique nose guard or an edge guy, you go there, or you go best available cornerback. And as much as everybody's gonna be like, oh, another corner in the first round. But the thing is that we need them.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. You can scoff at it and groan about it, but that the reality is the reality. And we still need not only just a starting cornerback, but we need depth. And I think if we stay at 23, we get any one of those deals, depending on how the draft falls, I would love to pick up another pick in the second round or a pick in the second round. So if we could move back just a few spots and pick up a second rounder, which I think will be hard to do with 23. But if there's a way that you can acquire another pick in the top 100, I think you do that.
So I guess my follow-up to that is, if you are picking QB at 11, like if Penix is there, that's the way you think you want to go because it didn't work out for you in the beginning. Is that too high for someone like him? And is it worth the wait, knowing who's behind you, to be like, okay, I'm going to sit on this and not go him, because that might be a reach for him?
You know, I think that, yes, I think that the Vikings would probably get hammered a little bit in hindsight if they take a guy like Penix at 11 and none of their trade deals work out and that's the best available guy on their board. I think you just do it.
Yeah.
You stop flirting with the what ifs and you just do it. And, you know, taking a page from what the Detroit Lions did, if you feel like you've got a guy that's a good cultural fit, is a good X's and O's fit, be damned what the experts say. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what you're trying to build.
Brad Holmes is laughing at everyone right
he's
now.
He's laughing
who said
at everybody.
That. Yeah.
And he's like, look, the general public right. is not making our selections. This is not a popularity contest. Yeah. I don't have to be well-liked. I just have to make the right picks based on all the research that we did. And if they truly trust that Penix is the guy and he's more slotted in the 20s as a first-rounder and you take him 11, who cares?
To me, if you look at those next five teams right behind us, it's the Broncos, the Raiders, the Saints, the Colts, and the Seahawks. All of them
could
utilize a QB. So, like, if you see that 11 mark there and you're waffling at all, I mean, good Lord, you got to make a decision at that point because everybody else, somebody behind you is going to make that.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think it's debatable whether the Colts would take one based off of Richardson from last year, just coming off an injury. Sounds like he was the real deal until he got hurt. But you're right. I mean, after us, it is the Broncos, Raiders, Saints could go with one. Colts, we talked about. Seahawks could go for one. Again, the Rams at 19 could go for one. And who knows what the Steelers are doing at this point in time?
Yeah,
if the Steelers are like, hey, we're just gonna get these two veterans. They're gonna duke it out. And by the way, we're gonna draft another guy, and we're gonna have you guys all just kind of figure this thing out. Their potential as well. And then obviously us at 23 before we get to the Cowboys, like I talked about earlier. I wouldn't. Sleep. They're kind of a wild card to me as well.
The Cowboys, to me, are the biggest wild card. But at the same time, I just keep thinking about the 2021 and 2022 NFL draft when everyone had Derek Stingley mocked us, right, at 14. We're going to get him. And then he went third overall. Yeah. So that's why I don't get my hopes up when it comes to things like this. But to your point, I do believe best case scenario, if you can get your guy at 11, if your guy falls to you at 11, to trade that 23rd overall pick back to get some additional picks because we don't have a day two pick right now. And just for an example, right, I've told the story a few times. 2019, I was in Washington. Kevin O'Connell was the offensive coordinator there. And we had the 15th overall pick, and then we had a second and a third. Long story short, we drafted Dwayne Haskins 15 overall, and then we traded back up into the first round to get Montez Sweat. Yeah. So Kevin O'Connell is known for making some last-minute moves that ultimately fit this roster. Kwesi came from San Francisco, then the Cleveland Browns. So there is a marriage here that I believe fits this Vikings team. It's just which route are they going to go?
Everyone's been talking offense. Mm-hmm. Defensively, We talked about the fact that we have needs that we need to find in there. Mm-hmm. I just went through, I'd sent a link around for like Pro Football Focus just did like their top 150 draft prospects.
Yeah.
But for them, they have 22 defensive players and 28 offensive players in their top 50. And so just doing a quick breakdown, they have 9 corners, 7 edges, 3D line, 2 safeties, and 1 linebacker in their top 50 defensively. That corner and edge list of having kind of 9 top prospects and 7 edge prospects, to me, I'm kind of looking at it going, that potentially are – those are potential needs that we have towards that 23 pick. Is there anyone for you that would jump out as far as who, if they're available, again, run to the podium and throw in the card in order to get whatever defensive top prospect would be the biggest impact player for the Vikings?
At 11?
At – well, 23.
At 23. Oh,
I know there's a lot can shake out. But
if Latu is there from UCLA
– love him.
Then I think that makes the most sense. And I've said all along, my own personal take is when you're building a defense, you better build it from the inside out. And I know that we need corners, and I know that corners can help, but I'm a firm believer in rush helps out the coverage more than the coverage helps out the rush. So we need it's an area that we need. I know that we had a good free agency, but I think it is kind of like other so it's kind of like defensive backfield. I think you can never have too many guys up front. And if you feel like a guy that's 6'5", almost 260 pounds, has quick twitch, has a relentless motor, if you feel like, look, he may not fit this particular position, but we're going to find a place for him, then you go after a guy like that, and you're so happy that you get him at 23.
I've been told by numerous people that Liatu Latu is the Aaron Donald of this draft. As far as the edge rushers, he is the most prolific pass rusher in this draft. I mean, when you turn on the film, that is the first thing that you see. When you look at some of the defensive backs per se, because granted, we know this Brian Flores scheme thrives on defensive backs that can play man-to-man. Are there any guys that stand out to you?
On the defensive backfield?
Yeah.
You know, not a ton. I mean, you are looking for true bump and run guys.
Correct.
I think you're looking for that physicality. Arnold from Alabama. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's there, then I think that you can definitely go after him. I think Quinyon Mitchell is still, to me, a little bit of a wild card. I know that everybody's talking about how he was the darling of the Senior Bowl and all this other stuff, and he tests out this and that. I do have an issue with playing at a mid-level Division I school going against mid-level Division I wide receiver talent, how that really translates into NFL wide receivers. A lot of people like him. A lot of people think that he's the number one. But I think Arnold probably gives you everything you're looking for. And then and was it Cooper DeJean?
Yep.
Is that how you say his last name? He has just like fun, freakish athletic ability that I would just like to see translate with the Vikings. Yeah. And look, everybody would have a lot of fun with the fact that he's one of the first in a long time to play that position. Mm-hmm. And play it at a high level.
Well, we've talked a lot about the draft. One thing we probably should have started off talking about this, but it wasn't a hot topic. But Vikings free agency. There's over a dozen guys signed to this Vikings team in the past month. Mm-hmm. Have you had time to gather your thoughts on what type of player the Vikings are looking for based off of the selections that they have, or I guess the acquisitions that they've signed this offseason?
Well, I like the fact that they recognize, like I was saying 5 minutes ago, about working from inside out. They know that they need pass rush. They know that they need defensive line help. And obviously, losing our superstar He-Man and kind of making a swap with Houston, we know that we were going to have to address that position. And I think we all understood we weren't going to bring him back. I like the idea that we're looking at this from a team approach. We're not looking to say that we have to have one rock star edge rusher and then everybody else can just be secondary players. We got kind of a 1A, 1B. We're gonna marry that up with one of the best blitzing linebackers in the league, and he's gonna have a great year in year two. I still think that we again need to address a pass rushing three technique, and I think that the whole thing is complemented. But I can see I think sometimes in free agency, we don't see the plan. And I think with the Vikings this offseason, they saw a plan. And we're seeing it as fans like, okay, I see what they're doing here. Mm-hmm. I absolutely see what they're doing here. I can jump on this plan. I like it. It's not scattershot. It's like not like, well, what are they doing here? It's like, no, I get it. And they seem like Flores type of guys. And that's the other thing that seems to me a little more transparent. Again, I don't know if it's 100% transparent, but we talk about they talk about the collaboration and the front office working with the coaches and yada, yada. And I think that when you see some of these guys that they pull in from free agency, it's like, well, those actually make sense to what we're doing on defense. So clearly there's been dialogue and deep dialogue about who the defensive staff likes in free agency. And then Kwesi and his staff are going to make the numbers work and try to go after these guys. So I think we're seeing that collaboration take effect.
Yeah, I think more than anything when it comes to that, though, is the idea of you have to have a defensive coordinator who knows what he wants, right? Mm-hmm. And so looking at the fact that you lost your both of your starting edge blitzers and outside linebackers, I think there was kind of a need on their end to say, you know, we have to address this. And knowing that he knew what was in the cupboard there in Miami, you know, you saw him go in and, for lack of a better term, poach what he wanted out of there and be able to bring him in. I think having things like NFLPA surveys saying how great this place is and everything too, that helps.
Yeah,
when you're trying to recruit guys versus, no offense, the old Winter Park when guys would walk in and say, I had a better high school than this place sometimes.
Yep.
But I think for me, when I was watching free agency, that you're seeing some of those that get plugged in, but then also knowing that you still have, you know, 9 draft picks at this point, I believe, that idea of being able to go the flexibility of you might liquidate a bunch of those assets on the front end to go get your offensive player. Mm-hmm. But then after that, how heavy do you think they need to be defensively when they're making these kind of picks? Because not only do you have unsigned free agents and everybody else that you're going to try to court, how much of that do you think on the back end with those other 7 picks that they might just have to say, you know, we got to bet a giant chunk of the farm here on defensive players to help build that depth.
Yeah. And again, going back to just our secondary help, we're still going to have to look at corner. We're going to still have to look at depth at nickel. We're still going to have to look at safety. I mean, all three of those positions in the defensive backfield, you need to plan for the future and you need to plan for injury, because that is something that has happened, what, the last 4 or 5 years here? Mm-hmm. We get to the end of the season. We're like, who do we have? Who do we have playing right now in the secondary? Like, who's this guy? Where do we get this guy on Tuesday? I know that he just came off the bench and came off the streets, but who is this guy? You know, getting yourself familiar with defensive players late in the season is not a good thing. So I think building up a stockpile, and I get that you can only dress a certain number and the roster set. I think we need to have a big time emphasis on guys in the defensive backfield.
Do you feel confident in what the defense can build upon and bringing that depth in from the free agency signings?
I think so. I mean, everything that Jay was saying, I think once the dust settles, I mean, we're in it right now. We're in this free agent lull right now where there's some good players out there. You know, Xavien Howard is a guy that everybody keeps talking about. It's like, well, why isn't he signing with the Vikings? It makes the most sense and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, because all the teams are basically taking a collective deep breath. They're focusing on the draft. And they're going to see what they address in the draft before they go back to the second tier free agent period. So that's where we are. I still expect them to make some moves. And then once we go through the draft and like, oh, yeah, we didn't address that cornerback spot like we needed, let's reach out to a guy like Xavien Howard if he wants to come here. And then everything that Jay was talking about, you know, not only is he going to be familiar with the defensive coordinator, then he checks all the other boxes. Sorry, we're not going to have South Florida weather here. That's the only thing that we're not going to have.
Kind of this winter.
Exactly. But we're going to have everything else that you're looking for from a player, from all the creature comforts. So in an organization, that's first class. So hopefully all of those things do play a part in free agency. But this team will continue to build even after the draft.
It's definitely interesting the way that this roster has just completely turned over in the last 2 or 3 seasons, which you would expect because, you know, the front office wants to put their thumb on things and make it their own. But I just kind of feel like there's a lot of just question marks, I think, going into this season for that unit in particular. And then obviously the under center part's huge.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like that's what I'm questioning. Like, OK, so who's going to run the show? And then how is this defense going to play together with all these new faces?
Right. And the thing is, if we get really – every team can get really nitpicky. And I don't think there's one team out there that's super comfortable with every single position across the board. We have absolute areas of need. And then you have to start looking forward. Like, do we have to address right tackle at some point in time? You know, do we, you know, I know that we get Hockenson on a big deal, but why not elevate some of the play in our depth at tight end if this is the type of offense we're going to be? We still need to address running back. I know that we have Aaron Jones, but it's like, you know, we still have to find a guy that can maybe get in there outside Ty Chandler and you know, maybe push them and compete. So you're always looking for things. You're never totally satisfied. Wide receivers are another spot that we're going to have to address at some point in time as well via free agency or the draft again. Yeah. So again, there are some immediate holes to fill, and then there's obviously spots that we can nitpick at and say like, okay, it makes sense to get a guy there or maybe two.
Ben, we're going to close with this. Just understanding the Miller Lite draft party is 2 weeks away, April 25th. You've done that. You've been on stage. every year, that just seems to be one of the highlights of the season. This year, the energy around that is palpable. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows, to your point, that the Vikings have to address the quarterback situation at some point. What are you excited about heading into the draft party?
I'm excited just for the unknown. Mm. You know, I'm excited that, you know, in years ever since I've been doing it, you know, we've never had a top five pick. And to be in a situation where we're going to walk in, and it's like showtime the second you walk in, you know, in years past, you walk in, you're kind of geeked up, you're ready to go. It is a fun live event, but you know that we've got some time to talk and like do what we're doing right now and flush out these opinions. You kind of settle in on an opinion. You're like, okay, well, the Vikings pick at 23 and we got all this time and, you know, we're making comments and just kind of building up to like, we're like narrowing down, like we're narrowing down the available first rounders and who we're going to pick. And that's fun. But to walk in there, the second I walk in there, it's going to be like game on. Mm-hmm. You know, pay attention to your phone, everybody, because who knows what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. What if they go all the way up to number three? And it's like we're all talking about number four or five. And it's like, what if the Patriots really are going to be sellers and they're going to get on that number three spot? Like, we've got to be ready to go from the jump. And it's going to be awesome. And then, my gosh, for the drama of it.
Oh. Love drama.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine, though, if like – we don't.
Or we trade back to 32.
And like, what if we trade 11? We trade back from 11.
Just the whole world melts.
I mean, it would be
U.S. Bank Stadium implodes.
I know for one night only. It would be awesome.
I think they'd riot.
I know.
Breaking chairs over the table.
I would just set my phone in the little handy dandy tripod on the counter and just record the whole thing, because it's just gonna be blood and mayhem everywhere. Yes.
It's gonna be like Cloverfield movie where it's just like found footage.
It would be great. But I think that's the fun about this year's draft is like anything goes, anything can happen. And that is the funny thing. The reality is like we could very much intentionally try to move up and it's just not enough. And somebody else leverages their complete future to move up and we're SOL and we're like, what do we do now?
Well, that's the thing. You got to have a dance partner, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing, Ben, and am I misremembering this, but were you behind the stage when Adrian was picked at 7 back in 07? Were
no.
you there?
Mm-mm.
Okay, because I was standing backstage with Greg Coleman and some other people, and we were watching as the drama was unfolding, and the Cardinals were the team you had to get past. And we're just like, Dennis Green, he's going to take Adrian Peterson. They're going to do that. And when they took the offensive lineman, everyone just looked at each other and went, oh, this is happening. This is amazing. And you heard the entire draft party explode when the Cardinals made their pick, because it went pin drop silence going like, please no, please no, please no. And then they made the offensive line pick and the entire building exploded going, this is going to happen. And it was just, that's the fun drama side of this whole thing of, if you all of a sudden see the thing that pops up and it says trade Vikings.
Yeah. And you have that time in between of like
the entire building is going to go nuts. So again, it the fun part about draft party is the unknown. And when you have these kind of potential blockbuster moves that you are going to make, that is the fun anticipatory part of this night. So yeah, for fans in general, I know that like the ticket sales for that have been robust. So like tickets are getting really tight on that kind of a thing. So if you have any inkling at all to try to go to draft party, go buy those tickets at this point.
Almost sold out. Almost sold out.
I just like being the belle of the ball. Yeah, I think crazy. It's really fun to just be like the team that matters, right? Yeah. Like people want to know what we're going to do.
Are you going to wear a purple cocktail dress? Like, is this going to be like red carpet?
Well, I'm going to be in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully much better than the last trip I made when we traded back to 32 and then drafted a guy who wasn't even there.
He wasn't there.
I was like, cool, yep. I just waited 3.5 hours for this. Yeah. I'll be like, all right, and I got to take a 6 a.m. flight back to Minnesota. Yeah. Super fun.
Yeah. Well, as opposed to some of the drafts where you've traded out of the first round and then you're just like, right. Oh, boy.
So, so I think that's the only appeal for me. You know, Detroit's a fine city. I only ever stay in Troy. Well, you know, never ever been before, but I'm actually really excited about it this year because I feel like it's where the action's.
Yeah, you
be.
Should
like,
be.
We're gonna it's gonna like be fun. it's gonna be a memorable draft, I think, for all Vikings fans.
Well, after pick number two, the Vikings will be on the clock, whether that's pick three or pick 32. We will see. But Ben, appreciate your time today. This was a pleasure having you here. Don't wait too much longer to join us.
I won't be a stranger. Not at all.
I already have plans for you, Ben. Don't worry.
Okay. It's great to see you. Great to see you. Thanks for asking me to jump on.
Absolutely. Well, for Tatum Everett, our producer, Eric Davidson, Jay Nelson, and our special guest, Mr. Ben Lieber, this is the Minnesota Vikings podcast presented by Pepsi. 87% of our food comes from rural America. Farmers are incredible, agriculture is incredible, and rural is incredible. Lando Lakes is a farmer-owned cooperative and proud official sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings.
Salon Montage is the Twin Cities' premier salon and spa destination and proud official hair sponsor of the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. With three convenient locations in Edina, Woodbury, and Chanhassen, there is a salon close to you. Visit online at salon.com.